ongoing study of God's faithfulness to his people, we've been digging into the details of who his people really are, those who are really going to enter the kingdom, and those who are not. And we were in Hebrews, and we'll be going back to Hebrews chapter 3. Actually, we've been kind of doing a little bit of a survey of Hebrews. And we were in Hebrews 3, and we saw that the writer gave an example of people of Israel in the desert falling away. So then we went to 1 Corinthians 10 to see what the details of that was. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to reread 7 through 11. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So that's when we went back to 1 Corinthians 10 to see exactly what happened in the desert. In 1 Corinthians 10, we saw that the specific sins of their unbelief was idolatry, fornication, tempting God, and murmuring. So then that is kind of the context of why God was so grieved with this generation to say that he swore in his wrath. They won't enter his rest. And that brings us to what I would consider an encouraging verse. In verse 12 and 13, there's kind of a good and bad news here in 12 and 13. Anybody want to read 12 and 13? Okay, Rick. Okay, that's the NSAB, says take care. And in the King James, it says take heed. And that word means to look, to perceive, understand, to beware in the Greek. So it's like pay attention here. Pay attention very intently. Because the writer of Hebrews is saying, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. So as we've been looking at this, and that's kind of why I put the chart up here. There's a starting time. And then there's kind of an ending time. And in this section of Scripture, the writer is distinguishing that that period of time was 40 years. And in this time frame of living and eating and drinking and sleeping and interacting and all the things of life that have occurred in these 40 years, the writer says, but exhort one another today, daily. Every day along this path of life, every day, he is saying that we need to exhort one another. We don't live in a silo here. We have seen that we live in a wilderness. This world is the wilderness, full of trial and tribulation, temptation, testing, and quite obvious, the writer makes it clear that the deceitfulness of sin is lying in wait over time, every day. And it says we're to exhort one another daily. As the writer started here, when we read verse 7, it says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. That's funny because 7 through 11 is referencing Israel in the desert. And the writer is saying the Holy Ghost, God, was speaking to you. So today, to all of us, hear his voice. We hear his voice. What are we doing to put ourselves in a position daily to hear his voice? Lord, have mercy. We were just having a conversation about Twitter in our pre-prayer meeting before we came. Look at the things that are vying for our attention. Listen. Social media. You know, social media for an old guy like me used to be getting up and having coffee with somebody. Getting up, and our pastor still does this, he gets up and he goes to the breakfast restaurant where you can have that one-on-one conversation where you're listening to voices because you're in a relationship. But now, wow. Just finger around here doing the old thumb thing. And you are listening to voices. You're listening to opinion. You're listening to ideology. You're listening to theology. You're listening to a lot. We are listening to a lot of things, but are we hearing the voice of God in all this? Because way back when, these people didn't have social media. They did not hear the voice of God over a period of time, and through the deceitfulness of sin, they fell and were revealed as unbelievers. I just think this is an incredible time to be really aware of this. Because what's the point of hearing God's voice on a daily basis, whether it's me reading the scriptures, me praying the scriptures, quite frankly, even me texting you a scripture, texting you a prayer, texting you to ask for prayer, or I actually get together with you at the coffee shop or the breakfast shop and we have a conversation about life. What is the point? What is the point of us hearing God's voice on a daily basis? Oh, yeah. Because we've, in previous studies, we've looked that Jesus has said that we are to continue in his word. We are to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If God is your Father, then you would love me. And if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. The point of exhorting each other every day is that we are continuing to be sensitive, convicted, and moved by the very hand, by the very voice of God. We don't want to be distracted off of that goal. Because this writer of Hebrews saying there is danger, Will Robinson, over time because of the deceitfulness of sin, that a heart will be hardened. And a hardened heart is a dangerous place to be, according to this section of Scripture. So verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. If, another big if in the Bible here, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. I've brought this up in other studies where a lot of people will point back to their confession or their profession, or they'll be told to look back to their profession or confession and say, because of this day, it doesn't matter what has happened here, it doesn't matter what has happened over time to get you here. They're saying, because you did this here, you are good. This scripture verse is saying that the confidence, the partaking of Christ that occurred here, better be here today. And then tomorrow, it better be there. And then at the very end, it needs to be there. Hold fast. That means to seize and retain. The writer is saying that we know through the grace of God, there is something required of us. We have to seize and retain. And that word confidence, it means the picture of sitting under and lining up with Christ. What a wonderful picture that is. So as we're getting bombarded with this information that is available to us every day, and we're running it through our filters, are we still sitting under? Are we still lined up with Christ? From the start to today to the end. It's funny, I wrote this question. So does it really matter how sincere you were 4 years ago or 40 years ago? But still, there's that picture of community, just like we're all sitting here in a community. We're all coming here, I'm going to call it a pretense. You know, since we're a small group, I mean, everybody knows each other, but if we were across 23, where there's 1,000 people there, they're all coming to church, and in any random conversation, those people will say, you know, I know Christ, I believe in Christ, and just like what you're saying, I'm a part of Israel, I was born into Israel, I'm an Israelite. Everybody at some point in time has a profession or a confession that they belong to something. They're a part of something. But this says to be a partaker of Christ. And over time, as Our pastor said over time, it's going to be revealed if you truly were lined up sitting under Christ or not. Because we talked about this in our previous studies. What was the point of the wilderness? I went back to Deuteronomy 8. God specifically tells what the wilderness is for. To prove what is in your heart. To see if you love me and want to follow me and want to obey. God is always proving and testing along this continuum of time. From the beginning until the end. That's why the writer says, from the start to the end. So in verse 15, the writer, in a sense, repeats verse 7 and 8. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So in verse 16, it says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. And in verse 17, it says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Has anybody ever paid attention to those two little words? Not all? What is the... Rick, can you read 16 for us? Because you have the NASB, right? Okay. That's quite obvious. That reads a little different than the King James. Okay. Except, as you know, we go back to Numbers, Pastor just brought it up, there was this group of 20 years and younger. And verse 17 then describes this group. It says, they that have sinned. Now, when I read that, you know, all of us can sit here and say that, well, geez, over time, I've sinned. So what's the difference between us sinning and them sinning? It says their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And they were declared as unbelievers. Yeah, repentance has a huge deal. That's something too, Pastor? And and we're lined up. So there's a picture of direction versus perfection. I think a few weeks back we talked about the parable of the soils. So if I was to diagram the parable of the soils on here, what's that going to look like? It says there's some seed that's thrown on hard soil and that's pecked away. So that doesn't even grow. And then it says there is some seed that is thrown on the soil. And it starts to grow. And it says, and quite obvious, it's going to be over time because this is an agricultural picture that our Lord Jesus has given us. So the seed grows and sprouts. And then what does the parable of the soils say? Two things that happens to the seeds that are sprouting here. It says one is choked out because of trial and tribulation. And then that plant ends up dying. And then there's a plant that is, was it right? Okay. Trial and tribulation was the plant that was scorched. The plant that was choked and ends up dying is choked from riches and the cares of this world. But as these plants are growing together, we know that there is a plant that grows together, and then it says it is in the good soil. And the good soil says it is going to grow 30, 60, 100. This is the visible, tangible, real fruit of the real seed. And just like you just brought up, you see these little squiggles in the line? Isn't that our part of learning where we sin? We repent and we return. I mean, this isn't about perfection. Our pastor just described that our perfection is in Christ. But the Lord, in this section of Hebrews and in the parable of the soils and throughout the Bible, is giving all of us a picture that like out of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and they and I will lose none of them. If there isn't some kind of tangible 30, 60, 100 of following Christ, not because it's works righteousness, it's because the Lord has done a supernatural work in our lives through grace and faith. And I like how the Lord says 30, 60, 100 because we're not all in the same mold. And over time, our little blips of learning, being chastened, being dealt with by the hand of a loving Father is all different. We're not robots. We're not cookie. But we're not pressed out of the same mold. All of us. But the Lord is finishing the work. But they talk about somebody who starts and doesn't finish. Yes, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Their belief. He challenged their belief. I think we were actually there, who knows when, sometime in the past, where I think I brought up, it's like, after Jesus told them that, why didn't they fall on their face and worship? Why didn't they say hallelujah? Why didn't they say amen? You know, why didn't they break out in song? But instead, they broke out in contention. So that's what really was being asked of the people in the desert when they didn't like the manna, they didn't like, you know, anything that God was providing. The desert was tough, the desert was hard. What God expected was somebody to say, where else shall I go? Only thou hast the words of eternal life. And I will trust you. I will trust you. Man. Yeah, our whole journey. Because what's scary is verse 13. Because exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. I find this verse almost as, I would say, God-fearing as the Matthew 7 verses that state the people who come before him to say, Lord, Lord, I am loaded with spiritual gifts that I have used. And Jesus says, the worker of iniquity is how deceitful does sin have to get? These people thought they were knocking it out of the park for Jesus, and Jesus went off to the lake of fire. I mean, so being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin is a really serious thing. So that's why our writer is saying every day, exhort one another every day. Be listening to the voice of God. Because only He has the word of eternal life. Where else shall I go? All right. I think we'll play here because I'm not quite prepared to talk about chapter 4, but in the theme here, I kind of set up the theme. Verse 1 says, let us therefore fear. So the writer is really redundant here. And in fact, if you use the Jim Aleph principle that we learned as you read a section of Scripture, take your colored pencils and start highlighting recurrent things that are being said over and over, and you do that and you look at your Bible, you will see, like you brought up the word today. I mean, how many times did this writer bring up the word today? I mean, how many times was wherefore you? How many times hear his voice? I mean, writers trying to say, listen up, pay attention. Use a football terminology. Let's have a huddle. Let's get together. Let's get in close so that we can hear what the play is. All right. Let's pray.